We need to figure out your sweet spot,
yeah.
right? And I joke and say, it's almost like cooking. You're not going to pour all the spices in at once. You put a little salt, you taste, you simmer, you let it. And then you work your way up to where you're your yeah. optimal self. And when yeah. you get to that point, that's defining. You step into a whole nother realm of who you are.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to the Real Business Owners Podcast with myself, Trevor Cowley. Today we have a special guest, Kat Gordino.
Godino. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I'm not going to get it wrong.
That's true.
Know, when I have somebody of your caliber sitting next to me, I can't miss. I can't get it wrong. Jeff said a lot of amazing things about you. I'm excited to get to know you. And you're in the space that I love so dearly.
Yes.
You're in the wellness space.
I am.
Right? Catalyst Wellness. Explain a little bit about what that is and how you got into that space, because I'm sure there's a unique story behind it.
There definitely is.
Yeah.
What we do at Catalyst Wellness is we believe in optimizing all your levels internally, naturally, whether that's through hormone replacement therapy, blood work, checking all your levels. Our medical system right now, they don't necessarily do that. You go get a blood test. They don't test for half the things that you should
it's
be tested
like a full
for.
Panel.
It's not preventative,
like, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then when they do, they usually say, hey, you're within range. You're good. But if that range is 1 to 100 and you're at 1, well, yeah, you might be within range. But if we bring you up to 60, you're still within range. You're going to feel a heck of a lot better than you do now.
There's a difference between a low range and being on the low end,
right,
the mid, or the high, right?
Right.
So you have to take a look at all of it, and then also to probably take a look at how the person feels, because can somebody be in range
and then you
but
don't
feel like absolute shit?
And that's the most important thing. And I always tell patients, hey, be cognitive about how you feel. It's not just about the numbers on a piece of paper.
Because
if you're 50 in the range of 1 to 100 and you still don't feel good, well, then we need to figure out your sweet spot, right? And I joke and say, it's almost like cooking. You're not going to pour all the spices in at once. You put a little salt, you taste, you simmer, you let it
dry.
And then you work your way up to where you're your optimal self. And when you get to that point, that's defining. You step into a whole nother realm of who you are.
So what are the type of people that come to you that you see most frequently or most often now? Because I know for me, I dealt with feeling low energy and you utilize like, I'm a business guy or I'm this and I have young kids. And
I feel good for 40.
You look at whatever it is that you're going through as an excuse for why you feel the way that you feel, and you're justifying it rather than really looking into it and looking under the hood. And I did that for a lot of years, and it was, I was probably 35, 36. I have drug use in my past, alcohol abuse in my past, so it kind of wrecked my hormones and my system, And by the time I was in my mid-30s, it was just like every day I just felt zonked, right? And then I was like, well, that's probably normal because I got young kids, or that's probably normal because I'm a business owner and I'm supposed to feel like this. This is just kind of part of the process, right? So we justify the way that we feel based upon whatever it is
society
that we're going through.
Also.
Yeah, it's almost normal now, which
it's a
sad thing. One, is it normal because of the food that we eat And from my understanding, the testosterone levels continue to drop rapidly decade after decade for, somebody in their 30s or 40s. What contributes to the testosterone dropping? And when does somebody know that it's right to, like, go get a panel done? Is it just, hey, I feel zonked all the time and this is the right time? Or should somebody be proactive and be like, I should just go do it even if I don't feel a certain,
And that's what we promote a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that because there's a stigma against, hormone replacement
tests
therapy,
or
all of that.
Yeah.
And it's not just about tests. Everything that makes you young in life slowly deteriorates as you age.
Yeah.
It's just natural, right?
Yeah.
And so we believe in filling up the cup as you age versus waiting until you're at the bottom of the barrel, And so we get a lot of patients into us who are always asking themselves, and this is what I love about what I do, is I feel good, but how can I be better?
Yeah.
And many times it
optimizing
is exactly
it.
What you said, where we go through life and the society puts these stigmas that we hear all the time. Even when I was little, it's like, oh, they've been married for 20 years, so it'll be like sex isn't a big issue.
Yeah.
Or, I'm tired, but I have 3 kids. It's like we ingrain this in our heads and then we live by that.
Yeah.
And what do they say? We live probably 95% in our subconscious. And as we grow up, by the time we're 35, 95% of who we are is just habits and memorized behavior.
Yeah.
So we hear these things, we step into that. If you don't challenge yourself to be a better version, I always say be proactive. Yeah. Come and get the blood work, see where you're at. If you don't do anything, at least you have it. So 5 years down the line, if you're you can compare and contrast. If you're still not feeling good or it gets worse, well, now you know, oh, well, look at all these levels that dropped.
So what you're saying is just don't accept it.
Don't
accept where you're at.
No.
There is, if somebody else is experiencing better, then that is physical proof. That's evidence to your brain that you also have the ability to feel or experience better as well.
Yeah.
You know, they just might be living in a different manner or doing something. I know for me, I went and got my testosterone levels checked when I was saying I was going through, and I got a panel done, and, oh, you're low on vitamin D or this, you know, all, like, is it vitamin K2 and vitamin, you know, like all this.
Vitamin
like,
B, DHEA, the things.
Yeah, I've taken, you know, I've got my vitamins in my bag. And the issue that I had, I mean, I was, my test level was 284.
Yeah.
Which is low.
Yeah.
Right? And I was like, okay, what's the protocol? And, you know, and it was taking testosterone. But I was traveling a lot at that time. And I freaking hated traveling with needles and this, that, you know. And so I got to a point where I just stopped taking it. And I went back to my doctor, this Gay is what her name, Gay Slate, in St. George. She's amazing. She's incredible. I still see her now. And I said, I don't want to have to do this. I was a heroin addict for years.
Right.
And used needles and this, that, the other. So like carrying these needles, this, that, like there was a weird thing for me to do that, right?
Yeah, we've met a couple of people like that. Yeah.
And so I was like, is there anything else? And she said that there's pellets.
Yep.
Do you guys, you have experience with like putting the pellets in and
so
all that?
Or we don't use the pellets.
You don't?
But I know that there are pellets.
Why not?
The pellets require like almost a surgical incision in the glute.
Yeah,
and they work phenomenally. We just choose, our doctor really likes to customize your dose.
Yeah, okay.
And so when you put pellets in, they're in.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, you can customize. And yes, again, doctors love them, but we just believe in either cream or injectable because we have them come back at 6 weeks and every 90 days, and we can change your dose those 6 weeks and every 90 days.
So the people that don't like the needles, they do the cream.
They do the cream.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do the cream.
Because I heard something about that, and that's what I said. I'm like, I've heard that there's other ways to do this. Mm-hmm. Right. If somebody's a, you know, phobia, have needles or that I'm like, OK, what other way to do it is there? And I heard something about pellets and she's like, yeah, we can do pellets and put a couple in and then retest it. And then 6 months later, put an extra one in because it went up from 284 to like 403.
Mm-hmm.
And now I stay right around 700.
Nice.
I said, like, look, I don't want to be a bodybuilder. I'm not trying to step on stage or anything, you know, like I just want to level the playing field.
Yep.
I know that I'm rigorous to my body. I know that the way that I live my life is different than the way that most people live their life in terms of the business, in terms of my physical activity, this, that, the other. But I'm not asking for an advantage. I'm asking to level the playing field so that I can just feel normal on a day-to-day basis and operate with that.
And that's key.
And utilize that as a catalyst.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, what you're saying, I mean, The people we see the most that have the lowest are usually first responders, firefighters, policemen.
High stress stuff.
High stress, their sleep patterns, the thing they see, the trauma they can go through. And many times those are the stigma. You're supposed to be tough. You're supposed to be this. So then they don't seek it until maybe a friend of theirs does. And then their friend's like, this is game changing.
Yeah.
And it's like, those are the guys that really do need to get levels checked and benefit from it. But ultimately, everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, even myself, even women don't realize that the most produced hormone in the body is testosterone, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and it's cognitive, anxiety, sleep, everything. But it's a delicate balance. You also have to have a doctor that understands how it works because while it can help with all those things, it can hurt all those things.
Yeah.
So in medical school, doctors don't learn this. You need to find a doctor if you're going to do this that actually has gone to training outside of medical school and understands how to do this.
Further research.
Yeah,
like
we do.
Independent research.
And I always tell patients when they come in, I'm like, listen, here's what we recommend, but go seek a second opinion. Go do your research. But if you go somewhere, ask the doctor what training they've been in because there's so many shops now popping up, med spas, all the thing, hormone replacement therapy.
Franchise.
And like
and
online.
Like
and
so it's like, if I could buy a franchise and I have, you know, like, what's the quality control
right.
in something
and
like
that? And there's so
right?
much compliance and yeah. so much regulatory, and people think, oh, it's easy. It's just this. No, there's so much yeah. behind it, and every state has different laws. And so a lot of these places, they don't know, or they don't get caught until they get caught. And it's yeah. like, you know, we just try to stay in compliance, regulatory, everything is yeah. in line.
Yeah. So outside of like, you know, the hormones replacement, like what are some of the supplements or things that you see that are deficient in the majority of people that you see, or not maybe even the majority, just higher likely to see this being deficient yeah. outside of, you know, testosterone?
Yeah. It's not just testosterone, yeah, right? You yeah, want to check exactly. all the levels. So it's really vitamin B, methylation, vitamin D, DHEA, which is a hormone naturally in the body that's a precursor to testosterone. You want to check your cortisol stress levels.
Yeah.
You really want to check everything.
Your adrenals.
Right. When you take a car yeah. in, you're not just going to get an oil change and that's it. They check yeah. all the levels and they fill it up to max.
Yeah.
So the car runs optimally.
Yeah.
But we don't do that with our body. We sit here and we go to a primary care. You're within range and we wait until something breaks down before we go and get it checked. And then yeah. more than not, it's like, I don't sleep. Here's Ambien. I have anxiety. Yeah. Here's Xanax.
Yeah. Band-aid the problem.
Yeah.
Why do you not sleep? There's something off.
There's something
in your
off
body,
in there.
Rather than just forcing your body to shut down.
Yeah.
Let it operate in the way that it's supposed to, because it's supposed to shut down. And if it's yeah. not shutting down, then that means mm-hmm. there's something off.
Yeah. And the problem is insurance doesn't cover these, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really where the miss is that we don't check these things through insurance, and then people are like, well, I don't want to pay the extra money.
Yeah.
Our tagline at our company is invest in your health. You can't buy it.
Yeah.
And that really is like, you should have a minimum of 3 to 4 tests before you ever get on pharmaceutical meds, before you ever. And that's yeah. why I started this. That's what the idea came from, because at 18, I had stress or anxiety yeah. and doctors just put me on an antidepressant.
Yeah.
And I didn't know any better, because back then, I know it sounds bad now, but back then doctors were like the Bill Cosby. They know everything. You know, they're
yeah.
trusting. They're this.
Yeah. You don't question it.
You don't question it. So they're like, this will help here. Stay, yeah. you can stay on them.
Yeah.
And so I was on these stupid antidepressants, and I tried to get off of them 3 times, and it was yeah. too hard. And I finally, about like 4 years ago, got off of them, and it yeah. was an
Game
experience
changer,
to get off of this. Like,
well, experiences in just
it
the pain
kicks your butt.
Yeah.
There is like, you become, now all the studies say you become dependent on these antidepressants after 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, I was on them for 20.
Yeah.
So to get off, it was mindset over matter at that point. I mean, yeah, yeah, everything's against you. But I mean, I'm sure you have a past. We all have
yeah,
a past
yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
we've been on something and you need
yeah.
to get off. I'm not
yeah.
trying to compare antidepressants to, you know, recreational, but it's, yeah, it's hard. You have like,
I mean, it don't matter whether it's recreational or this. Or
right.
That. I mean, it's body dependency. It doesn't matter
it
how it became dependent on it.
It is.
It's the fact that it is. And anytime that you're going against something that it's now dependent on, you're
right.
going to feel a struggle. And what that is your body screaming to say, hey, where's that thing that you've been giving me this whole time?
Yeah.
Not necessarily because it's bad that you removed it. It's just that it's used to it being there.
Right.
Right? Even alcohol. You
right.
can, people have, you know, they say you can die from alcohol.
Oh, yeah. If you cold turkey
bad,
alcohol.
Right.
Yeah. That's one of the.
It's like, well, that seems like, well, alcohol is bad for your body. Why would it kill you to not do it? Right.
Right.
And so just because there's pain and there's struggle doesn't necessarily
yeah.
mean it's a bad thing. Right.
Yeah.
We most often have to go through the most difficult pains or struggles for the most beautiful result. Right.
That's
and
true.
So on the other side of that, here you are. Now serving other people mm-hmm. at a very high level, and you did that only because you served yourself at a high level.
Yeah,
right? You overcame an old version of you and got better, as what this whole podcast is really about, right? Financially better, in your relationships get better, in your health get better. And recently, as we were talking about before the show started, is even spiritually
oh, yeah.
get better, right? And that's something that is part of your journey as of more recent. And I was sharing with her, and the listeners know, I mean, I'm very open, you
mm-hmm.
know, about the fact that that was new to me as of a couple years ago. You know, I'm a big believer on environments and creating the environments that are conducive to the outcome that you want. So It was 1 year on January 1st. I said, you know what? I'm only going to listen to uplifting, positive Christian music for the next 6 months. And it doesn't matter whether I'm in the gym, whether I'm running, or in my truck. And so my playlist changed a lot from, you know, 50 Cent, guns and drugs and money, and, you know, and don't
it's
get
crazy
me wrong,
what
I
it
still
does,
love, you know, a little, you know, Dr. Dre, old school 2001 or something, just, you know.
But you never paid attention. You
know, the nostalgia more than it is actually the music, right, of where you were as a kid. But 6 months straight, it was just boom, boom, I'm pounding that into my brain and wanted to feel spiritually uplifted, and it worked.
That's amazing,
right? And so it's just it's incredible what one little change of what you're putting into your mind with the intention that you have behind the result that you want could actually do for you. So I mean, I guess the question that I'm leading up to is like, you know, before we got on, you're saying, you know, Bible thumpers and this and that.
Oh, yeah.
That wasn't me. And
so anti.
What was your low point or whatever it was? Because usually that's what we have to experience. We have to be brought to our knees in order to say, okay, well, this isn't, I'm not doing it right and I need help.
Yeah.
Right. And so what did that journey look like for you?
Interesting, because it was when I got off those meds. Yeah. And it's like if you've ever dealt with anxiety, right, you never know who's dealing with it because people mask it very well. But it's the worst thing ever. And when you start to have panic attacks and when you start to have anxiety like I had getting off those meds, I started with universe and journaling and energy. And all of this started waking me up because I think those meds almost numb you. I think there's a place,
not
don't get
almost,
me wrong.
I believe that they do.
Yes. And so... again, there's a place for them if someone, I'm not trying to tell everyone to get off, but when I got off, it woke me up. And it woke me up to our society tends to tell us like, oh, all these things are bad and all these things are good. And I started realizing all the things they were telling us that was bad were actually good and all the things that they were telling,
like
you know?
Opposite. Yeah.
Right. So I started leaning into universe. I started doing the things that I would never do before because I was fearful or this and fear. I was like, forget that. Like at this point, it's my anxiety is so bad. I'm just going to do the opposite of what I think I should do. I'll do anything. I'll try it.
Yeah.
You know? And so I started leaning into that and doing different things and experiencing different things. And slowly that led me to church. And it was hilarious because I lied to my husband and didn't tell him I was going to go because I didn't want anybody's opinion. But for some reason, I was called to go I just went. And the worship music, you're talking about worship music.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and the worship music starts and I just start crying.
Yeah.
And I have no idea why. And I'm thinking, well, this is weird. Like maybe I'm just emotional. And then my friend took me to church again the week after and I started bawling. And it's the energy, you want to call it the Holy Spirit. It was so overwhelming. And then the church I go to is so phenomenal, Awakened Church. And their mindset is not, don't be religious. Don't be this. Don't check a box. Go build your kingdom.
Yeah.
Be who you are. They spoke out against a lot. That was what was going on in the world. And I respected that. So they not only talked the talk, but they walked the walk on every of it.
Yeah.
And so during that, during COVID, during everything, I woke up to all of this and just started leaning into it more and more. It was not easy. It's very hard. And then I also have a family who looks at me and they're... I've lost my mind.
Yeah, you're not
I'm now over here. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, if you only knew, I wish I had known sooner because now the freedom that comes with it, but I can't force that on anybody. I can't explain it to anybody. It's just, I get it now.
Well, if you don't experience it for yourself, it's hard to.
You don't get it.
Describe what the color blue looks like to a blind person.
Right.
Or what the ocean looks like. If they don't know and they don't have any contact, then they just don't know.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like, that's the beautiful thing about it is once you experience it for yourself, then you know for yourself that it's true. And when you know that something's true, you stop caring about what the other people, whether it's the family members or maybe some of the friends or some of the people that were judging you for going down that path. Because you said, well, yeah, it is hard. What was the hard part about it? Was it just like you had to get rid of your old identity and almost basically say, well, this version of me was an absolute idiot that was talking and acting and being like that.
Yeah.
It's like there's discomfort and, you know, going against what you said all those years.
Yeah.
Where it feels almost hypocritical.
It's pride, right?
Yeah.
Like I was sitting here like, oh, that person's crazy because they're doing this and now I'm that person.
Yeah.
You know, and then. Yeah. Having to get rid of all those perceived beliefs that I had and do the complete opposite. And they say, right, it's the enemy in your head being like, what are you doing? Why are you doing? We all have that voice, whatever you want to call it, that's constantly bashing you and now going against that and believe, no, 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 I can step into this. I do have a purpose. I am going to serve others. I am going to put them first. Yeah. You know, like that transition, it's very difficult in a good way and a bad way, right? Because every storm, I'm by no means am I perfect at this yet. We were talking about that before, right? There's still a pride sometimes where I'm like, oh, I wish I could do it that way, not this way.
Like when we were talking prior about when you hear somebody say like a bomb ass prayer.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh,
that's amazing.
I can't do it like that. Like, do they have a better relationship with God than I, like, you know, are their prayers going to be answered more than mine or, you know, and it's just, it's everything that you do in the beginning stages just feels imperfect.
Yes.
Because somebody else, no matter whether it's in your business, no matter whether it's, you know, relationship with God, it doesn't matter what path, it doesn't matter if it's in your fitness or in your, it doesn't matter. It's all that first uncomfortable, unfamiliar steps where somebody else is way better than you at doing that thing, but yet you want the results so bad, you're okay to go through some of that discomfort.
Yeah. And
be something better.
I think the biggest thing too was getting over the fact that God is not sitting here saying, okay, you sinned, that's it. This is your, you know what I mean?
You're doomed. This
you're doomed.
Destiny.
You're this. And it's constant sin. And it's constant just feeling horrible about yourself. And that's not, I don't know. I've heard, and I don't want to say anything bad, but I've heard people growing up in different religions are that way. And I was lucky enough to go to a church where they're not that way. And what I realized is when it comes to the Bible or when it comes to Jesus or when it comes to believing, it's just about stepping into the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
Treat thy neighbor with respect.
Yeah.
Love your spouse.
The foundational
surround yourself with
principles.
People. Yeah. Yes. And it's like you do those things, then you're good. You know what I mean? And you just continue to learn and continue to step into that and elevate yourself into this belief. And it's about having faith that the work you're putting in now is going to result to what you want in the future.
Yeah, everybody has faith, whether or not you know it.
Right.
Right? Like, you believe when you start a business that this result's going to, that's a form of faith, right? And you can't see it, you can't touch it, you can't feel, but you feel that if you do these things that this is going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, more people need to exercise their faith, not just spiritually, in all aspects.
Yeah.
Like, I believe as long as you're doing something with a pure heart and the intentions are right and you're walking the best walk that you can walk with the version of you that you are, on that walk, you'll continue to get molded by a creator, something that's much bigger than you. And you'll be molded into the version that you need to be as you keep taking those steps. And when you continue to evolve like that, you can't comprehend some of the things that will happen in your life, because that's, I've said this analogy before, ask a 5-year-old what 5 times 5 is. They can't comprehend it. That doesn't mean that there's not an answer. They're just not far enough in their journey. Maybe by the time they hit 3rd grade and they're 8 years old, then they can comprehend it. They need to get through 1st, 2nd.
Yeah.
They need to walk that journey and go through that. And then they'll be able to, and then guess what? Then there's going to be bigger things that they can't comprehend. But as they continue to show up and walk that path and go down that, the answers become more and more clear to the version of you that you're becoming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you find to be true to you?
Oh, it's so true. Yeah. It's so true. And honestly, if I look at the version I was, I controlled everything.
Yeah.
I didn't believe in things. I controlled it. I did it. And now it's funny how he has certain timing for you, because I found God, I believe now, and it's like this, oh. Like, I don't have to control it, although that's still a battle sometimes, right?
Yeah, but we're still human.
But then I stepped into a season of my life that just kicked my ass, for lack of a better word. And so to have that, I don't know where I would have been if I didn't have that.
Yeah.
So it's like I see his timing, I see why, and now we got through that. And so I'm just excited for what's to come now, because...
So what are some of the struggles that you've had to face in your entrepreneur journey, right? You faced struggles in your personal life and you found something, God, something bigger than you, right? To help you through this journey of life. Then there's the journey of entrepreneurship, which you'll have struggles there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's
I had no idea.
Struggles in, you know, trying to be the best version of physically, spiritually, financially.
Yeah.
Like, what were some of the low points or difficult points that, you know, because we all hit them. We all want to quit and give up some days, and we just say not today.
Yeah,
you know, the most successful people just said not today, Satan. For just to go with the theme.
Yes.
What were some of the struggles that you've had to overcome just as an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
On the path that you're on?
So my husband and I started this business with the doctor that we have about almost 5 years ago now.
Okay.
But he really kind of did the operations of it while we started it together, because I still had my full-time job in sales, right? Because when you start a business, I still had.
Yeah.
So then last year, actually 4 years ago, my husband also had another business. He started a cannabis manufacturing business and when it became legal in California.
Yeah.
He applied for everything through the state, did everything. His intentions were right. His timing was wrong. So instead of waiting, even though the state told him he'd have the permit in hand within 6 months, they started thinking, okay, we're good to go.
Yeah.
Even though it would have been a state infraction if they were caught, whatever, federal came in and went after him for 25 years for cannabis. And so for the past 4 years, we had to fight that during COVID, during everything, being like, look, he did everything right. He did all the things.
Yeah.
No, federally, it's illegal. Cannabis is still illegal. So what happened was I got a crash course in entrepreneurship, because ultimately we didn't think he would ever have to go in, but he had to plea, and he went in as of January 6, 2023. And I took over the business and quit my career, which I was successful. I mean, not conceited. I had a good career. Yeah. I was successful at what I did. And so I stepped into entrepreneurship full time without my husband, without my partner by my side. And that was my last year of just absolutely like you said, every day. You either want to crawl under the covers and not come out or you keep going. And I've always been a person, whether or not I've just always been a person, like, I don't have a choice. Like, this, I'm not quitting.
Yeah.
You know, that's You're not even an option.
In a positive way.
It's going to happen.
And maybe it's not served you in some, like, so I believe some of our biggest strengths are also our weaknesses in figuring out in which area to be stubborn. And then over here in an argument with a spouse, maybe I should, you know, let the stubbornness go and show more forgiveness, right? And so you're a stubborn individual when it comes to, you know, or you wouldn't have seen the success that you saw in the medical device sales, right?
Right.
It's like, I'm going to be successful at this. Then that also served you, it sounds like, over the last year, just being headstrong and saying, this, I've got to make it work.
Yeah.
Was part of it, hey, why he's gone in a way, I'm not going to let this, I'm not going to let what he put time and effort into fail. Like, was there a lot of that pressure of doing it for him, or was it a survival thing for you? Because my guess is, if you were making good money, you could have just kept doing that.
I could have kept doing that in both, right?
Yeah.
But it's also the patients who are seeing, like, transformation. It's also the staff we had.
Yeah.
The doctor, our partner, who's incredible. Like, we had built this. It's funny. Someone one time, he's like, Kat, you're doing amazing. You're halfway there. And I'm like, well, I don't have a choice. And he goes, no, you have a choice. He goes, you have a choice. You could have quit. You could have crawled under the covers. You don't have to get up every day. You have a choice. So don't say that. And that was an aha kind of moment for me, because he's right.
Yeah.
But I just, to me, it's like, no, like, there is a reason. And this is where faith came in for me. Like, how it all came about, when I found God. And then I'm put in this situation where, if you don't believe, then if I didn't have belief at that point, if I didn't have faith at that point, there's no way I would have made it through the last year.
That pressure.
Yeah. And so now I'm out of it, and he actually, miracle story, but he got out a week ago, which is crazy.
That's awesome.
But his transformation, and if you met my husband, he's the most phenomenal human ever. He would, if you had told me years ago, like, my husband would be in jail and we'd be in this situation, it's like unheard of. It's so crazy.
Not this guy.
I mean, it's just, so we got through this. He became a whole incredible, another version of himself, which he was already phenomenal. And then I walked this path that just, I wouldn't have done half the things that I did this year if he were here.
Yeah.
You know?
So do you look at it now as somewhat of a, as bad as it sounds, somewhat of a blessing at all with the version of
I understand.
Him that he's, yeah.
Yeah. I understand what God's doing.
Yeah.
And I believe in it.
Yeah.
But when you're in the midst of it, what do they say? When you're in survival mode, you don't see vision. You don't see possibility. You're just like this, right?
Yeah.
And as there's a shift.
Did you go through a pity party then?
We've had pity parties. Yeah. Sometimes.
Sure.
I mean, we definitely
Pretty normal, probably, in a situation like that. Like, why me? Yeah. Why this type?
I don't understand.
Yeah.
But again, like, now that we're out, I look back and I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing. Like, there was no, I don't believe in coincidences anymore. And the fact that I woke up at this time, the fact that I had this community around me, I couldn't imagine if I didn't have this community about me. So even if I had a pity party, they came over and were like, no, 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 we're not doing this. When you surround yourself with those people that they don't coddle you, they don't turn you into the victim. It's like, get your butt up. Yeah. Let's go.
Do the doing.
Do it. Let's go. Yeah. You know, because sometimes when you're in the thick of it, you need that. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what happens now because there's a reason for all of this.
Yeah.
There is.
So are you planning? So you're planning on staying in the business and having him join you in the business?
Yeah, having him join me and then
like join forces. And
he had multiple business before he started the cannabis. He did real estate. He did all these things. So I think he's, you know, kind of figuring out navigating what he's doing too. But it's nice to also have. I can't even tell you. Like yesterday, we got an email from a lawyer, right? That's like, hey, can you just review and blah, blah, blah. And I just forwarded it to Jason. I was like, can you look over that? And to have that, to be like, can you just look over this for me?
Yeah.
Because it was all me for a year. Yeah. I know it's the simplest, littlest thing.
Yeah, that feeling, but like, delegating that thing.
Somebody's with me now, you know? Yeah. So,
that's
huge.
That's super cool. Congratulations on that, having him back. So what was like the first day like? Did he say, hey, I've got to go eat at this spot? Like,
I don't, right?
Or,
no, his parents, ironically enough, he's Indian. So his parents had dropped off homemade Indian food the day before. Gotcha. They didn't know he was coming home. And I didn't want to believe it. Like, because we've had a couple maybes and it didn't come to fruition. So mindset wise, I was like, don't even tell me maybes. Like, don't.
Yeah.
So he kind of told me and I said, until you walk off that bus, I'm not, you know. And he walked off the bus, and so I had a meal waiting for him from his parents. They didn't even know, like, homemade, his mom's cooking. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So what have you guys done over the last week just to be able to, you know, connect? Like, did he want to go to the beach again or anything? Or is it just, I just want to be home?
Yeah, I think it's just reacclimating. Yeah. I mean, people think it's all rainbows and Skittles. It's not. He's been in there for a year. He's had a whole different routine.
Yeah.
I've been out here building and doing this, and it's like now we have to come back together and figure out, okay, where's the puzzle piece gonna fit, you know? And so there's
coexisting again after both trying to figure out your now new environments. What were some of the takeaways that he had in there that that he felt was positive?
I mean, oh my goodness, you're gonna have to meet him sometime because he's already an incredible human being, but he went and he released pride. He started men's prayer in there. He started Bible study in there. He poured into every single person in there. He took it as, look, if I'm going to be in here, I'm going to make the most out of this and I'm going to help as many people as I can.
Yeah.
To the point where the administration in there wrote him a letter when he left saying how what an impact he had and like the lives he changed in there. I mean, this is from the counselor in prison. So they don't do that for everybody. So it's it's pretty phenomenal. And, he's just that's elevated his mindset, and he's just,
His mindset's got to be pretty bulletproof, too.
It already was. Yeah. He was already, he's a person that doesn't get anxiety, doesn't, you know. And so I already looked up to him in that way. But now he's just completely released all pride and ego. And when you do that in life, I mean, it's a game changer, I think. Yeah, it is. And his whole mission is just to, like we talked about you, right? You
don't,
well, yes, we all have to make money. It's about serving others. It's about helping others.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
well, it makes the journey that much more pleasurable when it's not just about you.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to ask you one question that I forgot to ask earlier when we were on the wellness side of the conversation. How much do you know about gut health?
Gut health.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Do you guys do anything about this, like gut health or anything? Because there's like the studies of the brain and depression and the food that you digest and the gut health, the.
Yeah.
Prebiotics, the probiotics, the whatever.
All the things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? If I'm completely honest, I am in the midst right now of doing the testing myself and going through it. So we don't bring anything in unless we try it on ourselves first.
Yeah.
So I am not as familiar. I'm literally just did my test last week. And so I'm going through that and trying to see, is this something we want to bring in?
Yeah.
We did bring in the genetic testing, which is a big thing right now. Right. And, DNA mutations, and I don't know if you've seen Gary Brecker. He talks about it a lot.
Yeah.
And just understanding, hey, if you have a genetic mutation, then the process isn't going to work. Whatever goes into your body, right, has to be processed and refined before it's used. And if your body can't process or refine it, well, then that's going to create a problem, which ultimately usually leads to the disease. It's not Many times we sit there and say, oh, well, my mom had high blood pressure, so I have high blood pressure. Well, it's not the high blood pressure that's passed on.
You accept that as your reality.
Right.
You don't have to accept it, as we were talking about earlier. I mean, that just comes full circle. Yeah, they had it. But there's, I'm a firm believer that everything that was put on earth, like, there's healing properties. It's put here. And if you got yourself into that situation, there's probably something here on God's green earth that could help you get out of that situation, right? It's just a matter of pulling the right levers and getting the right information and then honoring that information. So
all this stuff is so, it's just so intriguing to me. And then the more I learn, the more I want, the more I'm cutting out all foods, the more I'm going and I want chickens and I want this.
I've got chickens.
I want chickens.
Yeah, I've got like 40 something.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And, yeah.
But it's interesting. Like, I wish I did what I know now back when I was younger, but we don't. We slowly evolve, and now I'm sitting here just...
You don't give a shit when you're young.
No.
You're just like...
You're like, Mountain Dew? Yeah, let's down it every day.
I expect to be healthy and vibrant and have energy and all this. And then when you get older, you're just like, oh, there's got to be a better way.
Yeah.
You know, kind of you start feeling it, and it bogs you down a little bit. So.
I know. But I know gut health is one of the most important things. The biome and how it relates to the brain and all the synchronicity.
Yeah, well, they say that your gut's... You know, your second brain.
It's huge.
Right? Yeah. Every year, from my understanding, and I could be wrong, I'm not, you know, an expert at everything by any means, but that your brain doesn't have any feeling, right? People can have brain surgery while they're awake, and you can poke at the brain because it doesn't have feeling. It's the things that your body, the signals that it sends up to the brain that receives it, that makes it feel a certain way or something like that, which it's so interesting. And that's why I was like, okay, she's in wellness. I'm wondering the gut health thing and you know, how relevant that is, because it just, I love that we're advancing and that we're like getting to know more information about how the body works and how it operates. Because at that point, what's the excuse? If you know how it operates and you have the information and you're just choosing not to honor it, then don't bitch about how you feel.
Well, and most people, it's funny because I spoke on this at a conference a week ago, and it was like I got up there and I'm like, okay, we all want to be the best version of ourselves. So where are you? How many people in the room? And I make them stand up. Stand up if you're your best version of yourself right now, and nobody stands up. And then I'm like, stand up if you have the desire to be. Everyone stands up.
Yeah.
Okay, stand up if you have the basic understanding of something you could choose in your life right now to change that would better who you are in health and wellness. And everybody stands up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what am I going to tell you, right? Drink water, eat healthy, exercise, and get a good amount of sleep.
Yeah.
And then I sit there and say, how many of you have heard these things before? Everyone stands up. How many of you are actively doing all these things? Nobody stands up. And it's like, so we have the knowledge.
Yes.
We know what we need to do, but it's really the mindset that we have to overcome and taking that. Why aren't we taking that action? Mm. And that's where it's like you have to start small, because people sit here and they come in all the time and I want to lose 20 pounds because I'm going to Cabo in a month. Well, how long did it take you to get here?
Yeah.
If you can get someone, and that's what I love about some of our patients, if you can get them to tweak one or two things, and it can be as simple as, hey, do you make your bed in the morning? I want you to, for 1 week, just make your bed in the morning. That's all I want you to do. And then after, when you get into bed at night, I want you to have a conscious thought about how you feel about pulling back the cover and the fact that you did this. And sure enough, they're like, I feel amazing. I've lost 3 pounds and all I did was make my bed. Because it's like this cascading effect of wins,
the momentum
and the mindset. And it's like, then they want more, then they want more, and then they want more if they keep going. And
It begins and ends with the mind.
It does.
And it's like, why does one human make a bunch of money and one not? Why does one have six pack and the other one not? Why is one person, you know, walking around smiling all day and the other person wakes up angry and they have no reason to be angry?
Yeah.
Nothing bad's even happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
They just woke up that way.
Yeah.
It all begins and ends with how you think and your mindset, right? And so once you have the ability to, I think, like, if we're stuck with this thing, we might as well figure out how it operates and utilize it to our advantage rather than having it sit there with the controls. Why would your mind give over the controls when it has a history of data saying that you make terrible decisions, right? And so, like, I was sitting there, like, doing my two-a-days or whatever, and I'm like, I feel like I'm starting to take the controls of my mind back. And then I started thinking about it, and it's like,
well, maybe your mind believes that it does a better job being in charge than you, because anytime that you have to control, you've made bad decisions or whatever it is, right? And so it feels like it's protecting you from yourself. Mm-hmm. But you have to go through the difficulty and the discomforts to prove to your mind that you're a worthy controller of it.
Well, and it's a muscle, just like anything else. Yeah. You have to train it.
Yeah.
That's why you see all these people out there. I'm sure I'm going to ask you, do you cold plunge? Do you sauna? Do you do any of those
things? I don't do the sauna.
Do you work out?
I cold plunge mainly for me to be able to run.
Yeah.
The next day.
But you have to push back, right?
Day. Oh, yeah.
Everything inside of you when you get in a cold plunge is like, get out, get out, get out, get out, get out. So you're right there. You're training your mind to push past that voice telling you no. And so many people, they step into an uncomfortable situation and everything inside of them says, no, 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 stop, stop, stop. And the signal in the brain is like, stop.
Yeah.
And there I have a choice. They're either going to step back into comfort or they're going to keep going into uncomfortable. And when they step back into comfort, it's like everything inside of you goes, oh, thank goodness. You're okay. You're good.
Yeah.
No, that's not okay. That's familiar. Mm-hmm. When you step outside of that, that's where it's defining. That's where you start to change those habits and ingrained beliefs you have. And that's, I mean, if I look at my last year, every day, my brain's like, you need to quit. You need to do this. So then I'd go sauna for 20 minutes or I'd go get in a cold plunge or I'd go work out because
change your state.
You got to change it and you got to train it.
Yeah.
I mean, even now I joke with people, but I get on the stairs at the gym, right? Whoever invented those, okay, they're horrible. But it's like, how many times does your brain go, you don't need to do this. Just get off. You don't need to go 30 minutes. You don't need to.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to observe it. Once you can observe what your mind is doing and you can push back on that, it's just a game changer.
Exactly what it's trying to do rather than just being a person where you're literally just doing whatever it wants to do.
Fear wants to keep you the same.
Yeah.
And I refuse to be the same.
Yeah.
And I don't understand people that just want to be average. Like I want to continue to better in every realm. I want to continue to help people to better because when they feel it, then they want to do it. Then they want more.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to watch that process in people.
Yeah. I love that too. Thank you for today.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're an amazing individual. It sounds like you've been through some trying times within the last year or two.
All good.
And every single time that you go through something difficult, just based upon your personality and getting to know you, you pop out even better.
Yeah. That's
on the other side, it's incredible. So appreciate you sharing time and space with me today.
Thank you.
You know, how do people connect with you? Do you guys do stuff like, or do they have to be local to your area?
So we're in California right now. We want to expand, but right now we're in California. So we can service anybody in California. We're on all social media, Catalyst Wellness.
Okay.
That's
how they connect with you, find you if they have questions about their health. And,
and I'm on social media, the Catalyst Cat, you know, all the things.
So all the things.
Reach out anytime.
Check the bio. I know. Put it all there. You'll be able to find Kat and Zeus.
And Zeus. And no one has even seen Zeus. Know. He's my pit bull. He's down here sleeping, snoring away.
He's getting his wellness.
Yeah.
He's well rested.
And if you ever come into our clinic, he's there. He greets all the patients.
He will say hello. No doubt. So hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Kat was a pleasure. Make sure that you share the show, rate the show. And other than that, guys, keep kicking ass and have an amazing week.